Just have it the blue line. If the puck's on the blue line, that's a goal. You know how many goals get called back, especially for a league that wants more goals? I don't know if, like...
You should get rid of the blue line and just keep the center line.
Well, that'd be crazy, too. That'd be wild.
Who cares if he's outside? Like, what does that even mean?
It means
they've been negligent defensively, so you probably have had better opportunities at the other end. Welcome back, everybody, once again for the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am your host, Mitts. With me, as always, my co-host, Twigs. My man, how you doing? How's your week?
Doing well, man. Battle of Alberta's on tonight as we're recording this on Saturday, about an hour away. I'm very excited. A lot of playoff implications are happening because of that, you know. I'm going to draw a little bit closer. So, yeah, I'm excited for this Saturday night.
Yeah, I hear you. The Blues are playing. I think they're already on, but I can't find the game. And we're getting a little bit nervous in Blues country. I don't know. Everything's shaking out in a weird way. Maybe it's just the post-trade deadline. But, you know, like, the Blues, I'm not super confident in them. The Knights had an amazing comeback earlier today. I watched a little bit of that earlier in the game. They looked like trash. Eichel's not even centering right now, which threw me for a loop. And then the worst thing is that the Bruins are playing well. I'm like, that's awful. Like, no one wants to see that. So.
Hey, man, I took a lot of heat earlier this season for the Bruins. You know, I picked them to win the Atlantic. Haha, look at me. That guy's pretty dumb, right? Hey, they're sitting second now. Ahead of the Leafs and ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I did look last night. I went to the Flames game. I did look last night at just the standings and see where it was. And at the time, Tampa was actually in the first wild card. And that my heart went out to Carolina because I'm like, could you imagine winning your division and your first playoff matchup is the Tampa Bay Lightning? Like, the Eastern Conference is going to be next level in the sense of that whole Atlantic division. Any one of those teams can win the cup easily. Yeah. And even Toronto, who isn't getting great goaltending right now, is still solid. Right now, they're actually in a wild card. But, hey, it's crazy. They're playing Montreal. So if they beat Montreal, they can jump back in. But, yeah, good on Boston. I'm excited. It's just making me look smarter. That's all.
Yeah, like we need more of that.
Yeah, well, hey, my ego. Let's just keep it down just a little bit.
Man, so how was the game? How did your Flamers do for you?
You know what? It was Friday night. I got off work at 12. I went and took a little nap, you know, because kids get you pretty tired all the time. So I took a little nap and I woke up to some phone calls saying, hey, I have free Flames tickets. Do you want to go to the game? And so I jumped in my car. It's a 3-hour drive. And I took my little brother to one of his like first hockey games. And it was an awesome experience. It was pretty sweet. I got to see Johnny Gaudreau's 200th goal live. So I'll have that for the rest of my life, which is pretty sweet to be a Flames fan. And they won. So it's a great day.
Very cool. Nice. Yeah, it's always nice when you can be there for kind of a special occasion. And that's sick that you get to take your brother along too. That's really cool. Yeah. Oh, man, why don't we get right into it? Today's episode, everybody, we're going to talk about the heart. Now, we haven't switched things up. We're not going anatomy. That's H-A-R-T. And actually, the Hart Memorial Trophy for you real hockey nerds out there. It's shaping up to be quite a race. I got to tell you, when we talked about this, I think I shared with you that I thought there was an obvious choice. When we talked about this episode, I thought that this is hands down the obvious choice. And I went looking for information and material to back that up. I was looking for some real confirmation bias. And I did not find that. The numbers were still there, but what I found was that it's not, I did not have a good grasp of it. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But what about for you? Like your thoughts before you started checking stuff out and what you thought about, like, has it changed at all?
So I think when we were talking about like how we were going to do this episode and, you know, how to keep it live, like right now we're in the dog days of like info coming out in the NHL. I thought, hey, it'd be fun to do. Let's talk about the heart, who our, you know, best player in the league is. I agree with you. I was like, I feel like there's like two or three. And then you start looking in, there's some huge numbers being put up this season and some teams that I didn't think that would be where they are. Like just to name one, Roman Josi in Nashville, that guy is having a career year. Like how many points does he have? 79 points as a defenseman in what? 65 games or 68 games. Let me look. 63 games.
Yeah.
He could easily be a 90 point defenseman, which is crazy. So there were more choices than I thought. I still think I'm sold on the one guy that I think rightfully is so. But yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed with the career years, how many like are happening in the NHL right now. And no, everybody, just before like we get a little bit in and like, oh, Tyler's going to pick Johnny Gaudreau. I'm not picking Johnny Gaudreau. Okay. I love the guy. He should be nominated, but he's not going to win the Hart. So yeah.
Yeah. That I'll say to add some unbiased side to that, he is having a fantastic year and really not just, you know, on his own standards. He is, in terms of odds on favorites, I think he's in the top 10, but there is a bit of a big gap between, say, the top five and the next five. So he's kind of in that conversation, but I think it would probably take some pretty big movement on not only for himself, but those above him for him to really actually get in that hunt. But yeah, I think I was really surprised to see. One of the first things I went through is the odds makers. And I was really surprised that there's a heavy, heavy, heavy favorite. Two players that are a little bit behind, one of whom only recently caught up to that as like a tie for second, let's say. And then a couple of guys behind that are rounding out the top five. Now, to round out the top five in terms of odds on favorites, you've got Alex Ovechkin and Jonathan Huberdeau. So anybody that's listened to this podcast knows that I love to take shots at Jonathan Huberdeau. But bear with me, because a lot of the things that I have to say about him and a lot of the shots that I take about him have really nothing to do with whether or not he is a good hockey player, and has everything to do with how I feel slighted by his fantasy production when he was on my team so many years ago. So I'm not here to tell you that he's not a great hockey player, that he's not wonderful. I just want to take out a personal vendetta most of the time. I'm going to put that aside for this episode. So if anybody was tuning in for that, I apologize. But Hubie and Ovi are, well, Hubie's having probably his best year of his career. Ovi's having, you know, a wonderful year. To me, right off the bat, I thought it's crazy for Ovi to be in this conversation. Am I wrong about that? Like, that's not being a great player. Like,
I'm shocked that he's even in the odds makers. I'm shocked that he's fifth. I think Ovechkin, like you said, and you're 100% right here, is great player, elite shot, gonna, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, like great guy, right? I do not have him in my top five. I didn't actually even think of him in my top five, which is maybe shows that I must know nothing about hockey, but that's what it is. I just don't have him. So when you said that and I didn't know that, it actually caught me right off guard. Jonathan Huberdeau, on the other hand, I have higher than fifth. The guy is playing unreal and rightfully slow. So he should be in that conversation. Ovechkin did surprise me, though. I would actually, and I don't know, you're going to tell us more. I would have probably had Crosby five over Ovechkin five.
Yeah, I'm sure I didn't go much beyond that. I'm sure Crosby's somewhere there, but the fact that Pittsburgh was, you know, top-ish of their division when he was out probably undermines his ability to get that vote. And yeah, I think like if Washington was doing better as a team, I think that maybe I'd accept Ovi's placement, but yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. The team that
I can't make the argument they're fourth in the Metro.
Yeah, like they're competitive. They're but to me, I really feel like if you're going to be MVP, yeah, maybe that's before we even get into arguably the big three in this. If you're going to be MVP, you have to be I think you have to be the best player on your team first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense to me if you're not. And that's where I think for me, Jonathan Huberdeau doesn't stand up. I don't know that I think he's the best hockey player on his team. I don't mean that with any slight. I just, outside, he's having a great year and he is a great hockey player. I don't think he's the best or most impactful player on his team. Sorry. But there's some, this is the MVP debate is always that debate. People bring their own ideas to it. But to me, I think like it's got to be the most valuable player. You have to see that there's that value. Given the Eastern Conference, I think if you removed Ovechkin, Washington would still be in the hunt for that eighth spot, that wild card spot. They might not have it locked up like they do, but I think that speaks to the teams below them more so than it does to what Ovi brings to them. All-time great player. One of the, and if not the best goal scorer of all time. But in terms of Hart Trophy this year, nah, come on, get going. So, but I don't know. I think that's where it kind of brings us to the top three, one of which I kind of bugged me that he was there. Because to me, it's a two-horse race. Connor McDavid is leading the league in points, if I'm not mistaken, at least at the time of recording. His team is back in the playoff position. He technically has the second best odds to win the Hart Trophy. And he's not that far behind the leader, but he's behind noticeably so. I mean, I get it. I don't think anybody needs to have Connor McDavid explained to them, but is this the year that he really qualifies? Like what are we doing? What is this award really? He is possibly, I threw a little R in there. It's going to go probably, but let's say possibly, because I'm not sure. Right now, he might be still the best player in hockey, but is he the most valuable? I don't know. I don't see it. I think if he didn't have Leon Draisaitl on that team, I think the case would be made and it'd be obvious. But fortunately, he does. He's got Leon Draisaitl on that team with him. And Leon is arguably one of the best players in hockey as well. So,
yeah, you know what I think about Connor McDavid, and I don't think he should win the Hart Trophy at all this year. I still think he's a top two player in the league. And probably you could say have a really good argument for number one. I think you look at the start of the year, their power play shooting 30%, which was insane, right? And they racked up a bunch of points really quickly. And the argument I would make with that is, if Connor McDavid's in the conversation, why is Nathan MacKinnon not in the conversation? And he might be in your conversation, but I would say those are the same type of skill level players. It's the team, right? Connor McDavid is doing what Connor McDavid should do. I'm not saying that he shouldn't win awards, but he's a two-time Hart Trophy winner already. And I think previous seasons when he won it, he was a bigger staple on that team. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think he's even the top three finalists this year. I think players like Roman Josi, I think players like Johnny Gaudreau, I think players like Igor Shesterkin, players like Austin Matthews, like those type of players probably deserve it more than Connor McDavid. Team success is huge when you're looking at the Hart Trophy. And what is the Edmonton Oilers? We don't know. We still don't know, right? Like,
yeah,
we could go, they were out of the playoffs, looked for like they were dead. Tonight they could be back in the playoff race, and then the following week they could be out. So what are the Edmonton Oilers? I feel like sometimes the Hart Trophy just goes to the biggest superstar, which is going to be ironic when I tell you who my Hart Trophy winner is, goes to the biggest superstar. But who impacts their team the most? And that's why I like when you brought up the odds maker, Jonathan Huberdeau's name was on there. Is he the biggest, sexiest, flashiest superstar in the league? No. Is he a huge piece of a very successful Florida Panthers team this year? Hell yeah. Like, the guy is unreal. Is he the best player on this team? Like you said, no. Sasha Barkov is the best player on the Florida Panthers. But there's an argument to be made who's been a bigger impact this season, Sasha or Jonathan. So that's why I don't think Connor McDavid even makes it top three. people listening to this, whoever is listening to this, are you guys going to call me crazy, Flames homer? Sure. But I have also beaten the dead horse in previous years that there's nobody even close to Connor McDavid's skill level. There's nobody even close to the type of player he is. This season, he's not that player. He had a really, really hot start. He's starting to get hot again. But what is the Edmonton Oilers? And that's my spew on Connor McDavid.
Yeah, no, that's it. I think that there's enough reason that we don't need to give him more accolades than are due. Like it's an easy, lazy choice. You know, yeah, he's possibly the best player in the league. He's possibly the biggest superstar. But if we look around the league and we look at this year and we stop looking at that resume of previous years and we just look at this year, you know, who's jumping off the page? Who's the one that you hear about every other night? And not because they are got into an argument with the, you know, a reporter after the game, or they gave a crappy response, or, you know, it's like, who's lighting up the highlights? Who's dragging their team to success? And yeah, the Oilers kind of stink and probably wouldn't be nearly as good without him. But you said we got Draisaitl there that we'll never really know. Evander Kane is a great hockey player. They do have a lot of talent on that Oilers team. They don't play like it all the time, but they're not the completely decimated franchise that maybe they were in his first few years, and he was just dragging them along with him. So yeah, that's it for me. I think Connor is to me is an obvious no. Jonathan Huberdeau for me, I think no. And Alex Ovechkin is very much a, how is that guy even in the conversation?
Yeah, I agree.
So for anybody that's not completely familiar, and I think that for casual hockey fans, we all are aware of these awards. We don't necessarily know how these awards come about. This one's voted on by the writers, Professional Hockey Writers Association. It's a poll they take. So I think this is where it makes me chuckle a little bit, because if you were to do, say, a fan poll, you might see Connor McDavid and Alex Ovechkin at the top, because there's a lot of people that are casual fans and they're going to vote for either their local guy or the biggest superstar. But for people that are supposed to be so ingrained with hockey day to day and just live, breathe hockey every year and have for a number of years, for them to not be able to separate these, you know, career resumes versus this year, it makes me kind of wonder what is even going on there. I don't know. I guess it just really feels like they're not open to really looking at who's playing great, and feels kind of lazy.
I should pull up really quickly here. I'm just looking for it because you brought it up. I'm looking for Jay Fresh actually did a Hart Trophy poll. And I just need to find it. I saw it the other day and I voted on it. Where is it? Hart Trophy.
Once you find it, like, I think we've talked about Ovi, Huberdeau, and McDavid. There's two names. You mentioned them. We haven't dove into them yet, but I get the impression that you might have kind of another name on your list. You said maybe a third place. Maybe the person is higher. I'd be really interested to hear who that is. I know it's not Ville Husso.
No.
He's come back down to earth a little bit. Maybe that's why I'm a little insecure about my Blues team's immediate future. But
so I have this. This is to go off your remarks on if the fans voted, and you're 100% right. So the fans voted right now, and there are some pretty smart fans here. You would have Connor McDavid finish. Actually, let's go top five here. Top five would be Johnny Gaudreau, and Jonathan Huberdeau would be fifth. You can make both cases for that. You would have Cale Makar fourth, Connor McDavid third, Austin Matthews second, Igor Shesterkin, the Beast, first. So I'm surprised Connor's that high, but yeah, the fans have spoken. To Jake,
anybody on there that you like? You, Roman Josi, was he one of your other kind of top five guys?
See, Roman Josi would be my third.
Yeah,
if I were to break it down right now, and you're looking at an impact of a player, the best player on their team, and the impact that he's made, Roman Josi should be third. I love Cale Makar, and when the player he is, you look at that team stacked from like first line to fourth line. Then you look at the Nashville Predators, their second best player is named Matthew Duchene. Right? He was traded from the Colorado Avalanche. Okay. So he couldn't make it. He could not make it. So now you have Roman Josi, who's got almost 80 points. The guy is lighting it up. He should be in the consideration, not only for the Norris, but for the Hart. Like, if the Hart isn't for the most valuable player on the team, which then would be the league, what are we doing here? I get Connor McDavid is as spectacular he is. I get Johnny Gaudreau, what he brings to the Calgary Flames. I get what Jonathan Huberdeau brings to the Florida Panthers. You take all three of those players out, that those three teams still should be successful. You take Roman Josi out of the Nashville Predators, that team is bottoming out. You can make an argument that UC Saros is just as valuable, but that's the back end, right? And that's why I had Roman Josi three. And I almost had him higher, but I just couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I can respect that. I'm a big fan of Josi's. He's a beast. And I feel like he's kind of flown under the radar for let's say, casual hockey fans for a long time. You know, he often gets overshadowed by, let's say, his peers that are winning Stanley Cups or going deep, or at least have those expectations that they're dealing with. So like, you've got your Victor Hedmans, you've got, you know, Alex Petrangelo's, you've got up and comers like Cale Makar, but Roman Josi has just been so steady and so good. That yeah, he just played. I think if he played in a lot of other cities, everybody would know him and he'd be in a conversation. But you know, I don't think he gets that much attention in Nashville.
Like, if you think about it, his last career high was 65 points. He has 79 in 63 games.
Dang.
Like, that's a huge jump. And I remember when Mark Giordano went on the tear with the Calgary Flames and the media press he was getting and the, oh, vote Mark for Norris and, like, all that. I do not hear the same. It might be because I live in Calgary or close to Calgary and I see a lot of that market and you see a lot of Toronto because that's everywhere. The disrespect Roman Josi's getting as a top player right now is mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling to me. This guy goes out every night. He's been committed to the Nashville Predators. He took over from Shea Weber beautifully, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I definitely think that, and if the season keeps going the way he is, you don't usually get defensemen close to 100 points. This freaking guy is going to be close to 100 points.
Yeah.
The team that... Before Roman Josi broke 79 points, I think the last like 12 years or something, the most points a Nashville Predator had was 68. Like, that is wild, right? If you think about it. So good on them. They got a gem.
Would have been nice to see him at the Olympics this year. That's all we'll say on that.
The Swiss defenseman. That would have been sweet.
I guess that kind of brings us to what I think are the only two legitimate horses in this race, as far as I'm concerned, for what that's worth. Not a lot for the professional hockey writers, I'd say. But you've got Igor Shesterkin and you've got Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take this opportunity to take pot shots at Auston Matthews. I'm not going to try to downplay anything he does. He's having an amazing season. He's a fantastic player. To me, Igor Shesterkin is hands down the most valuable player in the league. Guy has 31 wins in 42 starts. The Rangers have 41 wins. His backup, Georgiev, who a lot of people consider a pretty solid goaltender, could probably be number one on a lot of teams, is 9-9. They have some of the worst 5-on-5 numbers in the league. they're not a really good team, but they have an elite level goaltender that keeps them in it every night, and not just keeps them in it, but wins the game for them. So I don't understand. Until about a week ago, he was actually longer odds. He's actually odds as of 3 days ago, the sites that I was checking, he's still a hair behind Connor McDavid. Now, he was my favorite. We talked about this beforehand, and I joked that it's your Sturkin, right? Like he's obviously, I almost didn't think this was worth an episode because I thought, how could we even have an episode about this? There's an obvious, he's hands down. He's had this for months. Lock it up, hand it over to him. Then I come to find out that I think it was only 8 times in the history of the award have they given it to a goaltender. The 3 most notable times that goaltenders had to play over 80% of their team's games. Shesterkin's coming in at just over 60%. And so there's some knock against the fact that he's not an everyday player, which, fair enough. But the fact is, when he's not there, they're not really that competitive. So what are we going to do here? And this isn't a situation where it's a 50-50 or a 1A, 1B. This is just a guy that has a balanced work schedule because they have hopes of going further. And he's been successful enough. He's just crushing the other teams that he doesn't need to play 80% of the games to keep them in it. Like José Theodore had to when he got it.
Theodore stole it from Jerome McGinley.
Yeah.
Stole it. That was a bunch of crap. Okay, but keep going. Sorry. That triggers me so much. Like, I love Theodore. Love him. Great goalie. There is no way he should have won the Hart that year. No freaking way he should have won the Hart that year. Go on.
But that's it. You've got a guy here who's the MVP is the most valuable player. Anybody that tells you that New York is a playoff team without Igor is lying, or they don't know hockey. Like, it's crazy. It just doesn't track with me. But he's probably not going to get that respect because he's only been there for 60% of the games, even though he's made up like 90% of the wins.
Which is flawed logic.
Well, it's interesting to me because I think, to use another sport as an example, in football, the quarterback, now granted, the quarterback plays all offensive plays, but the quarterback is comparable to the goaltender in a lot of ways because it is a singularly unique position that is so integral to the rest of the team. You know, you can have running backs that go out wide and catch passes, and you can bring receivers into the backfield. You can have safeties that come down and play at linebacker or go out wide, play corner and spin everybody around like that. Everybody's got these things, but the quarterback almost always wins their MVP strictly because they are the most impactful player. And you have to really step up to do something on your team and be impactful to overcome that. Tom Brady wins it every year. Aaron Rodgers won it most recently. Goaltender is an excellent comparison for that. You've got great teams all the time. Perfect example right now is the Toronto Maple Leafs are really struggling, despite the fact that they have a very good MVP candidate in Auston Matthews and a great team. Their goaltending situation is weak, and so their prospects are much weaker because of it. So I think that we need to get beat on this idea that they're not playing X number of games. The fact of the matter is that as great as Auston Matthews is, and maybe I'll let you tell everybody how great he is because you're such a big fan, but as great as Auston Matthews is, if Jack Campbell is healthy and is playing as he was pre-All-Star break, this team is a playoff team without Auston Matthews. They're not dominant, but you can take Auston Matthews and you still have a lot of talent on that team that can make up that.
You know why Shesterkin won't win the Hart? It's exactly what you said. there's logic in hockey writers' minds and in people around NHL and people around in the hockey world that for some reason, like other sports value starting pitchers that don't play every night or quarterbacks that play every possession, but they should rightfully be, you know, as valuable as they are. Goaltenders don't come off the ice all game, right? They're getting pucks fired at them all night, right? That position, there's a reason there's only a handful of good goalies every year. And then there's a bunch of like 1As and 1Bs, right? This year, what, you can name maybe five really solid starting goaltenders that can play 80 games and every night they can win that game. And Shesterkin runs away with it. It's not even close. I love Jacob Markstrom. That team is so solid defensively and doesn't play a lot in his zone that it also helps him make him look good. Shesterkin is out of this world. And I remember reading at the start of the year, and this also got a lot into my preseason pick on who would win the Metro. Shesterkin was like on everybody's radar. They were like, this guy's going to do it. This guy's going to turn it around. And a team that should be elevating their 5-on-5 play and should be elevating their prospects that are growing into players and everyday NHL players, because they've had really good luck at the NHL lottery. It's Shesterkin backing them, right? It's not Panarin, who's great. It's not Zibanejad, who goes to, he's like the Katy Perry song, Hot and Cold. Like that guy goes up and he goes down really quickly. And I love him. It's Shesterkin. That's the reason the New York Rangers are as successful as they are this year. And they should be for other reasons. They have a very young defensive core, very young. It's Shesterkin. And I agree with you in the sense that he should win. Do I think he's going to win? No, it's going to be Austin Matthews. It's going to be Austin Matthews, and because that guy can change a game with one puck on a stick. Like one shot, game changed. Different game. He's a different animal. He's big. He's mean this year. He seems like he really wants it. And he's Justin Bieber's best friend. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Also, can we just talk about those reverse jerseys? They're actually kind of cool. Like, I won't lie, for like a pretty boring league that the NHL really is, I was like, holy cow, those are actually unique. Like, yeah. I feel like we got gypped because they didn't play the second period with the yellow on. But you know what? I'm all for it. Like, they're pretty sweet. But Austin Matthews, he's got 4 to 6 goals in 58 games. He's been suspended for being a dick to Rasmus Dahlin, you know, a little cross check to the face. I don't know if he should deserve that. Like, two games seems like a lot, but.
Oh, no. Come
on. I'm just kidding. We've already talked about this in an episode, but I think it's going to be closer than we think. And I think a lot of the reasons Shesterkin isn't going to win is because of the logic you brought up. But Austin Matthews is a game changer. And I used to think that there was it wasn't even close, Austin Matthews to Connor McDavid. Austin Matthews has a shot like I've never seen before. And like, when I watch him play, I'm like, the puck's on the stick. This game could be like different any moment. Like, any moment it can go in the net. It's unreal to see a player that has that much swagger, that has that control of shot. He also has 34 assists. He's dishing it. He's already like career high in assists already. He's going to be career high in goals if he's not already. Oh, he's one away from career high. Has he scored tonight?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So if he hasn't scored tonight, he's still one away. I just think that finally Toronto is going to have a guy that's going to be like, F this. We're getting out of the first round. I'm putting it on my back and we're marching. So I think Austin Matthews is the MVP.
Yeah.
Also, John Tavares has sucked this year. So really, Matthews has had to step up. That's another reason.
Yeah, but I mean, Matthews he's scoring and producing and impacting the game like he never has before, by every metric. He's improved his defensive numbers. I couldn't find any evidence that his game day speeches have reached Jonas Tavares' level. So, I mean, it's good to always have room to grow. Yeah. And as long as they're going to pay Tavares $10 million a year to be an on-ice cheerleader, then he doesn't need to. Yeah, and that's where I think, as much as I think it should be Shesterkin, I think Austin Matthews has a legitimate case.
He's cementing himself as like the best center in the NHL. This season, he is cement, like he used to be runaway Connor McDavid. And then second right behind him was like diet, you know, specific Nathan MacKinnon. But now Justin Bieber's best friend is the guy. He's taking the mantle.
Yeah. No, he is. He's great. And I think I saw something. I think it was when I was reading up on somebody saying that Ovi was in consideration, saying that he's still the best goal scorer in the league, but Austin Matthews is right behind him to take that mantle. And it's like, no. Ovi is going to potentially be the best goal scorer of all time when he's done. And right. arguing, you could argue right now whether he actually is or not. That's fine. But that's statistically traditionally all time. Right now, the best goal scorer in the league is not Alexander Ovechkin. Not based on current stats, not based on this season. It's Austin Matthews. I think that if he was to win it and Shesterkin finish the second, I totally get it. I think that would make so much sense. He's so great. What I worry that I'm going to see something silly, like it's going to be like Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, and then Shesterkin. And it's just going to boil my blood.
Edmonton Oiler makes it into the top three. And it probably will, because NHL writers, you know, sometimes are very biased and it's superstar driven and all that. There's no reason Connor McDavid should be in the top three. And I feel like that's what our episode should be. We're more making a case that Connor McDavid doesn't belong there, even though we both know when the awards come out, his name's going to be on the nomination, right? Like he's going to be top three easily. He's going to be sitting in Vegas in his awkward self, waiting for them to read it. And it shouldn't be. It should be Roman Josi. It should be Jonathan Huberdeau. It should be Johnny Gaudreau. It should be, heck, any of those players before. Cale Makar before Connor McDavid.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say, at least in my own opinion, that like hockey media in general, we really need as fans to embrace and understand the idea that hockey media is a tool of the NHL. This isn't like journalism in a sense where they're getting hard-hitting stories. They're constantly basically doing things for the team. They're sucking up to the teams and to the players because they don't want to lose their access, because that's always that pull. You're not going to find hard-hitting journalism. That's why they're always going to be, the people that are going to be in it for long term, they're going to succeed, are going to be the ones that kiss that butt the most and kiss the ring the most. They're going to be the ones that have those votes, because anybody that's going to be writing actual critical hard-hitting pieces, generally speaking, isn't going to get there. They're not going to get that opportunity. Now, there are going to be some old curmudgeons that are in their 60s right now. They're still doing it for the love of it, when we all know they're only full of spite and vinegar. I won't say the other ingredients, whereas it's a family podcast, but those are the guys that have already, like, they're ingrained. You can't get rid of them, but they still also produce basically like paid promotional posts for the team half the time.
Yeah. You know why Connor McDavid's going to get a third? He's going to get third or second? Is because Mark Spector is still voting for this. Like, there's still those media that are like, they're so like in awe, right? Like of the superstar he is, that they'll just vote for it. Like,
yeah,
that's what it is.
That's it.
I love when our podcast, like, we have like a plan, and like it's like a rough plan. But it like always ends up in like a little mini rant about like something we don't like. And it's so refreshing, because like I don't feel like there's a lot of podcasts that just start ranting about things. And it's a lot how like I talk normal days too. Like I'll be like fine, and then all of a sudden, that son of a, you know, and then you just start ranting. And it's like, I feel like that's what we've kind of adapted. There's like, we should just do a segment where it's like, or like a cutaway of like just all our rants, and just like little rants, like 2 seconds of each rant. And we could probably make an hour and 20 minute episode of it. It's great.
I can tell you, we don't have to talk about those glorified fanboys anymore. I can tell you though that I've already thought of that name for that segment, and it is a little bit, maybe not the name for the segment, but it's clearly, from my standpoint, at least, or for my own purposes, going to be called Mitt's Takes. And if we can, I mean, I know with a fair amount of certainty that late 90s, early 2000s, child rock group Serial Joe are not regular listeners of the podcast. But if we can get a version of their song Mistake, which was just amazing to me at the time, just for a little clip, like it's all Mitt's Takes, that'd just be perfect.
We just get the instrumental. Just get the instrumental and we're good.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue. And, you know, more often than not, I will be wrong. So Mitt's Takes, Mistakes, perfect. But yeah, no, I think, it. Yeah, man, Connor McDavid.
Here we go.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's like Tom Brady winning their MVP every year. It's like, I get it, I guess, but like, can we talk about somebody else for a change, please?
And I'm actually one that's always like Austin Matthews. Oh, all we hear about is, oh, Austin Matthews went through the Tim Hortons drive-thru. Wow. That's wicked. Thank you, TSN. Right. But yeah, like rightfully so, he has taken that mantle. He's taken that crown. It's his this year. It's not Connor's this year. It's not anything like that. But before we go away from the Edmonton Oilers, as a, you know, diehard Flames fan, live and breathe it, love it, don't miss a game. I do want to applaud the Edmonton Oilers this week with what they did for that young boy, Ben, the five-year-old who has brain cancer. It got me super emotional. Sometimes you feel like these things are publicity stunts, but when you listen to him talk about it and him do the post-game interview with Zach Hyman, you could tell that the Edmonton Oilers really means a lot to this kid. And what Connor McDavid and the organization went out and did for him was really mad. I have one little tidbit that I hate. Hey, Mike Smith, don't make it about yourself, you dick. Just saying, right? That was the, to tell a five-year-old kid that the fans can turn on him really quickly, stop making it about yourself, buddy. You do it to yourself, okay? Let the kid have a moment. It's not always about you, Mike Smith. Go back in the net and give the puck away six more times. Like, that's how much I hated that part. Like, hated it. I was like, God, you're freaking whatever. But I applaud you, Edmonton Oilers. Ben, we wish you, and I don't think you'll ever hear this, but I do want you to know that I am supporting you, and Maddie Mitz is supporting you. And fight on, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Smith, I don't think a five-year-old with cancer needs to be told that sometimes life isn't fair. But maybe just keep that one to yourself. It is nice. And I think it's nice to see, and it makes you feel, you know, choked up and warm inside at the same time. The Blues had a similar thing with Layla on the Stanley Cup run. And that was, man, every other game had me choked up and seeing that. And still to this day, I know I'm seeing some posts about her. And I think, honestly, couldn't remember and tell you what her medical condition was, but I do believe it's in remission. She's living a healthy life now. But yes, it's good publicity for the team. It is. But let's not forget that this really can make an impact on these young victims of unfortunate and just unfair diseases. So let's try not to be too cynical about all that stuff. It's easy to go that route and say, oh, the team's just doing it for good publicity, but there's enough evidence out there to show that having a positive state of mind actually really affects your health. So, man, whatever works. And if it doesn't work, then I'd much rather us wrap up the last little time they have left with having them get that wonderful experience, you know, a la Make-A-Wish Kids Foundation. Like, that's it. Trying to cheer them up, trying to make them feel better, and at the very least, giving them an experience that is special, something to hang their hat on. So, yeah. Big L for Mike Smith, but he's eating a lot of L's.
He catches those everywhere he goes, so whatever.
Oh, man. Look, before we wrap up, I got to say this, and maybe it's because I've just wrapped up my second beer at the same time. I know that in our recent playoff mock, we've got Colorado going the whole, going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I know that I spent a bunch of fantasy capital to bring Nathan MacKinnon onto my team. I am uniquely, not uniquely, but intricately invested in his success in my own way. However, until he grows the F up, his team will not win the Stanley Cup or anything, because this is a man child. He's immature. That's it. I get it. You want to brand it as passion. And by you, I don't mean you, Ty. People want to, oh, he's so passionate. He's so intense. You know, I remember Michael Jordan. You saw Last Dance. Michael Jordan's intense. Kobe was intense. There is intensity. And then there's immaturity. And there are differences. And sometimes they do look the same. But the fact that he can't keep it together on the ice, that he's taking crappy penalties. He should have been heavily suspended this season.
For the ref.
Like, how can you see that replay? Even at the very, like, look, let's pretend he didn't mean to hit the referee, which is a big stretch, because you watch that. He clearly got angry about the non-call, non-stopping, and he swung his stick at the referee. Even if you can wrap your mind around the idea that that was an accident, if you accidentally slash a player in the face, it's still a penalty because you're responsible for your stick. It's not okay to be out of control and to accidentally hit anybody with your stick. That's not, if it's on a player, that's a penalty. And so to me, the fact that he wasn't punished for it means that he's not going to learn from it. And they're not. I don't see it happening this year. He's been unraveling a number of times this year, taking cheap shots on other players, taking that shot on the referee. I'm telling you, like, maybe they'll win some playoffs. Like, they've had an amazing season. They've got lots of other talent. But if your best player has no concept of what composure is, and one of your other star players is known for his playoff suspensions.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you're doomed. You're doomed before you start.
So they're the team to watch, right? They're a team that has every aspect that takes, and every ingredient that takes to win a Stanley Cup. They have every piece of it, everything. They got the grit, they got the high skill, they got the back end. And I don't care what people say. Darcy Kuemper isn't a good goalie. Darcy Kuemper's a really good goalie, right?
People that disrespect Darcy Kuemper don't watch hockey.
Yeah, and Pavel Vassois is a very solid backup, like crazy good backup. Yeah. Like could be a starter on any other team. Like, he's not a scrub.
No, he could easily be a 1B. Oh, sorry. The Leafs game is on the background. And I think Marner missed, but he had a heck of an opportunity.
Late night with twigs and mitts. That team's going to unravel, like you said, and they are the team to watch. They have everything that should take to win a cup, everything Edmonton wishes they are not. I'm very intrigued to watch Colorado. And I hope that if they lose, they have that reporter again that says, like, are you just going to, like, you know, F it again? Like, just, you know, take over the game. And I hope Nathan MacKinnon watches everybody's diets again, because that would be awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Man, this Leafs-Habs game is getting interesting. Power play. For the Leafs, they just gave up a beauty scoring opportunity to the Habs. It's something else. This is the time of year. We talked about it a little bit earlier. We talked about it before the show, how it's kind of the grind time of the year. But there's also, like, this is the amp up for the playoffs. Like, this is the final opportunity, the last 20 games or so for most teams. Things are going to get tight. Things are going to get interesting. People are going to start getting real chippy. And like the Boston Bruins are doing, teams are going to start kind of making statements. And
love it.
Yeah. I hate saying it. You know, I do. I love bagging on the Bruins. But man, they're really making a statement right now. They're peaking at the right time, firing on all cylinders. Swayman's playing great for them.
Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah. I think Bergeron just got back today, time of recording. And if they stay healthy and they keep this up, they're going to be a tough out. And arguably, we're going to see the funniest first round matchup of the Leafs and Bruins. If the Leafs and Bruins meet in the first round of the playoffs, dear listeners, just find a Leafs fan near you and stay close to them. A, it's going to be hilarious. And B, they're going to need a hug every other minute. So if you are a Leafs fan, gosh, God help you. I don't know what to tell you. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for you.
There's a high chance that that happens. A high chance that it's Boston Leafs first round, which is crazy.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Oh, buddy, I don't know. I think that's just about all it takes I have left in me today.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah. So, in summary, Igor Shesterkin should win the Hart Trophy. Austin Matthews will win the Hart Trophy. Wood jerseys wouldn't know a good podcast if it punched them in the face or begged them over and over again. They're still silent. But, yeah, we'll keep plodding along. As long as you guys keep listening, we'll keep producing episodes. And we'll get there. We'll have fun. Most importantly, we're going to have fun along the way. Man, when the playoffs roll off, oh, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. We have some fun things in the works. I think we want to do like a jersey tier list. I know even if we did a jersey tier list just for the Vancouver Canucks practice jerseys, that would be wild. If you are listening to this, follow us on Twitter, please. We're almost over 200 followers at Heads Puck. Trust me, I have already looked into renaming it. It's a little bit more difficult than you think, but it's Heads Pucks and we're found under Mitts and Twigs. We are on YouTube. We are on, sorry about the YouTube. We're backlogging all the episodes right now. Busy work schedule as we are not sponsored yet with jerseys. We are found on Spotify, anywhere you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, although go to Spotify, it's better anyways. So yeah, from Twigs, I don't ever do the outro, so this is weird. From Twigs, I say thank you very much and thank you for taking your time and listening with us. To Mitts, we appreciate you. Love you all. Thank you very much.
Consider myself. Later, gang. We'll be right back.